on? We're good?
Okay. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Saturday at Talladega Super Speedway. A big thank you for everyone coming out early. I know this one is kicking off a little bit early, so we appreciate you joining us. We've now been joined by Chase Elliott, driver of the number 9 Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports, our most recent winner in the NASCAR Cup Series. Chase, welcome to Talladega.
Thanks.
We appreciate you joining us. We're going to go ahead and open for questions. If you have a question for Chase, raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you. Who wants to kick us off? All right, we're going to go to Zach.
Zach Sternillo, NASCAR.com. Chase, there's always the expectation for this number 9 team to be competitive, to be where you guys were last week. But what has this week been like? Has it been any different from your perspective, just getting the win and being able to celebrate that a little bit more when you haven't had that moment in over a year?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that our prep towards the next race was really any different at all. I mean, I certainly think it's important to take a little time to enjoy those moments just because they're hard to achieve. And as I've said a lot, and it's you know, it's just hard to win these races and put yourself in that position and be competitive the way that we expect ourselves to be. It just takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. So whenever, you know, you are able to accomplish that as a group, I think you have to, it's worth celebrating. It's worth enjoying because we all work really hard at it. Not just me, but our whole team, and a lot of time traveling and on the road and whatnot. So yeah, I think you have to enjoy those moments, but certainly when Monday, Tuesday rolls around, you know, whether you like it or not, the next week's coming in a hurry, and you have to make sure you're ready to go the next week like you were last week when it went well.
All right, we'll go to Bob.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. On the last lap, if you're near the front, do you assume that it's going to go to the finish and that's the way you plan your strategy, or do you have to plan that there's going to be more than likely a wreck on the backstretch and as far as where you need to be?
Yeah, that's a $64 question. I don't know. I think for me personally, I look at it like it's going to go to the finish and try to position yourself where you want to be when you get back to the start finish line. I mean, that's a really hard thing to guess, like when a wreck is going to happen, if it's going to happen. So I don't know about someone else. Ask Blaney, because I feel like he's won about the last 15 races here. And should have won about 14 Daytona 500. So whatever he does, I feel like is the right thing. But for me personally, I look at it like we're coming back to the checkered flag. If I'm up in the mix, if I'm leading, you know, I'm obviously okay with it going either way. And I think if you're anything past that, you certainly want it to go back to the line.
All right. Go ahead, bud. The mic's right there.
Stephen Toronto, CBS Sports. Chase, the first 2 years of the next-gen car in 2022 and 2023, one of the things that we saw was we had a bunch of different race teams, a bunch of different organizations winning races. 9 races into this year, Hendrick Motorsports has won 5 races, Jacobs Racing has won 3, and that's only left room for one other team to win a race. How exactly did Hendrick get so far out ahead of everyone, and then do you feel like we're going to see more of this and a little less of the parity that we saw the first 2 years, as everyone kind of knows what the next gen car, what makes the next gen car tick, and what it's made of?
Yeah, they're all the same, right? Yeah, I just think it's silly that, you know, we think that we're gonna keep the big teams and the that type of power away from winning in the long haul. I mean, I think that's motorsports. Like, you know, the big teams and the resources behind them are always going to find the advantage, and whatever it is, no matter how small the advantage is or isn't, I think that it's always going to be extracted first by those groups. And I think that's just racing. And I don't think it matters how hard we try to make everything the same. It's never going to be the same exactly. I think we are certainly fighting for smaller increments now than we ever have before, but there are still details that you have to push for and search for and everything else to be better than the next guy. And those big teams are always, in my view, going to 9 times out of 10 find that first. I think the first year that we just no one knew what was right or what was wrong, so there was a lot of different paths, and I think you could find success in different ways. You might back into a little bit of success not knowing what you didn't know at that point in time, but everybody's learned this car for a couple years now, and everybody is learning what makes it go fast, and from there I think you'll see more of, you know, what you've seen for the last however many years.
And when you have an advantage as a race team, how do you keep that advantage? You know, like when you're in the garage area, how do you start to get an inkling that, oh, the rest of the field competition might be catching up to us? You know, we've got to do X, Y, and Z in order to maintain what we've got.
Yeah, I don't think you do. I don't think you ever can. I think that this sport goes in cycles and it goes in ups and downs, and I've been around it long enough to see that certain manufacturers will have advantages for a certain period of time, and then it'll swing a different direction, and vice versa. And I think that's just the way it works. And I'm not sure that you can do anything to combat that. I just think, you know, you look at the timeline of when bodies are submitted and not submitted by other manufacturers, and some people, when you get behind, you probably work a little harder in certain areas to make it better. And I think it just creates this natural flow of people, you know, manufacturers being good and struggling, and you just have to ride that wave. I don't think you can ever stop that.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah. All
right, Stephen in the back.
Steve Conley, the podium finish. Chase, Allen talked a lot this week about the positivity. The team had been positive. He had continued to feel the positivity in you and knew that you were close for that breakthrough win. When did you feel the same way throughout the last year or so with the winless streak as Allen, and even up leading into Texas last week?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably referencing more this year and just the work that we've done this season and the gains that we've made towards the end of last year, but certainly, you know, in the first part of this year. And I've been fortunate to experience it a couple times throughout my career where you just have a really good group of people that are working really well together. And I feel like we have that right now. We've had it at other times too. And it just becomes really important to try and take advantage of that, because people are going to move on. People, you know, you're going to have other opportunities, take new jobs, get promotions at other teams. You know, who knows, right? Those things just don't last forever. So, yeah, I certainly feel that way about our group. I think we work really well together. Everyone is driven to, you know, work for and with each other and pushing one another to be better. And that's a special thing. And it's fun, you know, really fun to be a part of. So I hope that we can all stay together for a long time. But unfortunately, that's just not how it works. But what's cool about it is we do have a really good group right now, and I think we're all very driven to make the very most of that while things are clicking.
All right, we're going to continue to take a couple more questions. I don't know if I'll get to everyone, but just hang tight. We're going to get as many as we can. We're going to go to Jordan next.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Allen last week was kind of emphatic, and I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit, saying, like, you guys may not have been winning, but you look at the stats, average running position, those kind of things, you guys were right there with kind of the best. And I'm curious, from your perspective, did you feel like you got kind of in that ballpark? And then after this win, how do you kind of stack up, you feel like you stack up against the Larsons, the Byrons, the Hamlins, the guys we kind of talk about as the quote-unquote championship favorites?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's still room for improvement, for sure. I mean, I'm not naive to the end of the race and the improvements that I feel like we needed to have, or I needed to do a little better to make our car last on those long runs. I mean, Denny passed me, you know, under that green flag run, and in a lot of scenarios that the race would have likely been over unless we had had those late race cautions. So like, I know these things. I've been doing it for a while, but I also felt like we were right there in the mix though too, much closer than we had been. And we were just like a tiny little fraction of an adjustment, if any, away from being able to get the lead in that scenario and control the race to the finish under green flag circumstances. So I feel like we're as close as we've been probably since this car kind of took a different direction there in the latter part of 2022. And I think our balance in how we come to the racetrack and the things that we're talking about is exactly right. And then I think a lot of it from there is just how I manage a run and making sure I can make it last. And really hard to explain some of these things, but I think a lot of it kind of falls in my hands. I think the balance of our car last week was in a really, really good position. I have absolutely nothing to complain about it, and I told them the same thing, you know, in our meetings post race.
All right. You had a question? Go ahead.
Tracy Riggs, Tab Media. I have. I was just wondering what your greatest regret is from this past season going into this season.
My greatest regret? I really don't know. I mean, I can't change any of it, so what's it matter?
All right, we're going to go with questions. We'll go to Chris and then Justin. Chris and then Justin. There you go.
Chris Knight, CatchUns.com. Chase, was there any sort of relief or, you know, did you feel like the pressure was off of you now that you have a win, or were you just focused on status quo?
I feel like, I mean, like I referenced at the beginning of being in here, I think it's nice to win for sure. It's nice to get a victory, and I think those things you have to celebrate because they're really hard to achieve for sure. But for me, it's always just about being competitive and like just being in the mix. And I said it after Martinsville, like, yeah, it sucked to lose, you know, the race on a late race restart, or, you know, not that we lost, but we didn't win. I mean, William was controlling the race, right? But ran second. But also at the same time, we were competitive and on the front row for the last restart. Like, that stuff's fun, you know, for me, a lot more fun than getting to the last restart and trying to figure out whether or not you're going to run 15th or 18th. You know, at that point, it's like, you know, we're back here just fighting like crazy for what, you know? And I think it's really always been about that for me, just being competitive and being in the mix. And some days are going to go your way and some days aren't, if you're around and if you're up front. And and that part has been fun. And that's always been the goal, I think, is just getting back to that type of position and feeling like we're among the ones that have a shot each week.
All right, Justin, go ahead.
Justin Schuler, Kicking the Tires. Chase, this might be an off-the-wall question, but last week Texas took down the scoring pylon in here. Everyone kind of got caught by a bit of a surprise that Talladega took it down too. Are you a fan of that, or do you use the scoring pylon when you're racing? Like, do you think that has as much of an effect as people have made it out to be on social media?
I honestly didn't notice that it was gone at Texas. Is it gone here too? That's interesting. Why? Was it not functioning? It worked, right?
It worked, but they were old.
They were old. Yeah, I don't know on that one. That one's above me, I'm afraid. But I don't see where it was hurting nothing. I mean, surely it wouldn't make the power bill that much higher. Right?
All right, Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Chase, I got two for you. We saw in Daytona, the fuel saving was pretty aggressive, and it slowed the pace of the race down. Should we expect more of that tomorrow along those same lines of how aggressive it was in February?
I would say so. You know, it's just a you're trying to limit your time on pit road for the last stop to a stage or the last stop to the race. And two things have happened. One, the pit stops have gotten really fast because we have one lug nut. So you're talking, you know, sub 10-second stops, and more people are getting in the sub 10-second stop range. So even on a racetrack that we change tires, the amount of fuel you have to take for four, you're still waiting on gas if you're all the way out. So you see that at stage ends, at racetracks that we would take four tires, and then certainly at speedways where we don't take tires, on those green flag cycles that get you to the stage, it's all about time on pit road. So how are you going to limit your time on pit road? You're going to figure out how to save gas. So and that's why you see, like, say at Texas or something last weekend, a guy, or at Richmond or wherever, somewhere we would take tires, right? A guy comes in, gets off cycle during a run, maybe has a problem or something, and they end up pitting earlier, so they have more fuel at the stage, so then they can take advantage of their fast pit stop. That's why you see some people jump like eight spots at a stage end or something, likely because A, they had a good pit stop, and B, they didn't have to fill all the way up from being out.
Winning takes care of a lot of things when it comes to like the points and all of that. But how closely do you pay attention to stage points or playoff points that the nine team is chasing?
Well, I think it's a really big deal. I mean, look at to me, the best example that I can give myself is our year in 2022. I think it was we had a good, really good summer stretch and won a few races and won some stages, and when the playoff thing started, we had like, I can't remember, it was somewhere in the high 30s, maybe close to 40 points. Someone maybe can tell me or not, but it was a bunch. And we ran horrendous through the last 10 races and made the final four, and that was why. So I think that in itself tells you everything you need to know about how important those playoff points are, because it can take a really average final 10 and give you a shot in those last 3 or 4 weeks. And, you know, that's worth its weight in gold. So I think it's important to rack up as many as you can while the regular season's going on.
All right, Chase, thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you.